Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Yes, you are. And that means you're listening to Deb Wolf at Camp Good Dog, where it's sunny. My last guest calling in from California was complaining about how it's high 80s there today. But my next guest, Dusty Rainbow, I think she'd just like the weather to change over there. How's it going, Dusty, in Texas?
Well, we are swimming. We are swimming. Fortunately, I'm in a safe place, but communities nearby are having flash floods. So it's kind of scary. Bring your pets in.
Yeah, keep an eye on them. Keep them with you. Keep stuff with you. Have 2-3 days supply of food, meds, everything else, first aid kit. Keep it all handy and ready, even if you're not in Texas. It could happen to you.
And let me say one thing. I was watching the news last night, and there was a deputy from the Houston area. I think it was Richmond. And he found a dog that was tangled up in a fence. Fortunately, the dog was still alive, German Shepherd. The deputy was shaming the owners because the dog was chained and only his head was exposed. He was
almost gone. They could have just let him go. You don't do that. Yeah, let them go in the situation like this. At the very least.
The deputy was shaming the owners because they left the dog to die. And, you know, if it's too dangerous for you to stay, it's too dangerous for your pets. So...
It's nice to hear from you on that one. You know, I have this cat on a lighter topic. I have this cat. It's a young cat. It's probably 2 years old now. I adopted it as an infant that was rejected, and the mom went feral, and there were four kittens, and I took a couple, and I had to, you know, nurse them with the bottle. It was a pain in the butt for like a month or two. And so this cat is unusually attached to me now, and she has weird habits. And one of them is at about 4 o'clock in the morning, she will climb into bed with me and cuddle with me, which is fine. But then sometimes, only sometimes, she will just scratch my face and then go do whatever it is she wants to do with the rest of her evening. Go off and eat. I can hear her over in the feeder or do whatever it is she wants to do. She doesn't need me for anything, but she will scratch my face. And the last time, she gave me a 1 inch by 1 1/4 inch, because it has a nice jag in it, shaped sort of like a small letter R, right above my lip, right below my nose. Nice big scratch, right? And I thought, you know, love shouldn't hurt. I should talk to Dusty about this. And is it bad that I want to do the same back to her, that I want to sneak up on her when she's sleeping and scratch her? I know I can't do that, but I have this desire to do that, Dusty.
We all do, but unfortunately, even if you did, she's not going to associate it with what she did to you.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, and you know, the problem with them doing things in the middle of the night like that, you can't wake up and do anything. So the one thing you can do is lock her out of the room, or another option is to put soft paws on their claws so that when she does it, it's not going to hurt you. And, of course, keep her toenails trimmed. But
that I could do. The third one works. The soft paws she'd take off. The locking her out, I think she'd just drive us all crazy trying to get in. Maybe not, though. But do I really want to sleep with my bedroom door shut all the time? I don't think so. So I think the third option... trim her nails better, because I'm not sure she means to hurt me. Do you think she means to hurt me?
Probably not, but we've had bottle babies that in the middle of the night will start biting us, because that's what they do with mama, and we are mama. You know, I've done quite a few bottle babies, and it's very annoying, and so, you know, that one we have had to lock out of the room.
See. Otherwise, yet another reason to leave the kitten with the mama whenever you possibly can, which I would have if I could have, but that wasn't the situation. So,
it's not always an option.
No, it's not always an option. If I had left these kittens with that mama or tried to find where she'd escape with the other four and then brought them to her, chances are they'd all be feral cats right now, reproducing and reproducing. At least this way they're spayed and they're safe, you know, but... and they got the treatments they needed for ear mites and all kinds of things at the time, right? Which they would not have got. So that's all good. But it is a trade-off. You don't get the the pet you might think you will when you adopt an animal baby.
Well, one thing
okay,
that might help
yeah.
When you're doing that, when that happens, is immediately hiss at her, because that is one way to tell her that you're upset with her in the same way that her mother would. And, you know, if you can wake up fast
enough.
Oh,
I do wake up. It hurts.
Yes.
I get up and I take cotton and I put hydrogen peroxide on it. Like I'm always, the light goes on. I'm annoyed. I'm slamming around, you know. She knows,
but
you're right. I should hiss.
The immediate thing to do after that
okay.
is to lock her out of the room, because she's
yeah.
not going to be rewarded for the behavior.
See, then she's done with me, though. But I will. I will. I'll lock her out of the room and I'll hiss at her before this all
but
happens.
You might
and I'll
find
file
out
her
that
nails.
She really does like being, you know, in the room. So just go ahead and hiss
yeah.
at her, lock her out of the room, and see
okay.
what happens.
Thank you. Okay, so let's get to the topic you'd like to cover today, which I believe is fat cats, but not in the cute way, in the bad way, obesity.
Oh, yeah, obesity is bad. You know, I mean, the fat cats are cute, and they have fat cat contests where the fattest cat in the world, and you just have to think about how sad that would be to be that overweight. I mean, if you have a 10-pound cat, a cat that should be 10 pounds, and he's even 1 pound overweight, think about how big a box of margarine is, a 1 pound box of margarine. That's how much extra weight he's putting on his joints and his legs and his toes, and it's not good. It contributes to a lot of diseases, including arthritis. And it's so hard, because you want to reduce their food, but you look at those beautiful blue eyes or gold eyes, and they're
well,
massive.
And you know
feathers.
What? So many of the fat cats I meet, it's usually when I'm training a dog, and I look over and I see this thing that looks like,
right.
you know, a doorstop or somebody's purse, because it's so fat, it has no shape anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the cat isn't given much of anything in terms of entertainment or stimulation. The only thing going is this meal. You know,
exactly.
Oh, are you hungry, kitty? Okay, kitty. And then they walk over and they turn the can or whatever the ritual is over eating. But other than that, the cat gets pet and the cat is stroked and cuddled, and
uh-huh.
he gets maybe brushed and he gets fed. There's not a lot of anything else of interest going on. Is that part of the problem?
Oh, absolutely, that's part of the problem. And most of those guys have the ability to free feed, so they just, whenever they get bored, just like humans, they'll go over and start snacking. And people are so afraid that if they cut back on their kitty's food, that the cat is going to hate them. And a brand new study out of Cornell University of Veterinary Medicine suggests that's not the case. They did a study with, I believe it was 53 cats, and they all ate the same number of calories. One was high fiber, one was this, one was that. And they found out that in the beginning, when they cut back on the amount of food, begging became more persistent. But at 4 weeks, they started losing a little bit of weight, and they became more affectionate. And then by 8 weeks, the begging had stopped or decreased significantly, and the cat was much more affectionate, because they could jump up in the bed or jump up in your lap. And even
yeah, their life was better. Their quality of life was better. I totally get this. And at first, it's just a habit. Like you've said before, it takes a few weeks to get rid of a habit, right? The begging
right.
is a habit.
Well, and the behaviors that they monitored were begging, bumping, swatting. I mean, even some aggressive behaviors. And it didn't happen any earlier. And so, you know, if they start begging 2 minutes before you feed them, it didn't happen earlier. But it was more persistent for the first 4 weeks, and then the behavior started reducing. And then the good behavior started taking over. So, you know, don't be afraid of putting your cat on a diet. But that said, you need to work with your veterinarian, because if you just reduce the amount of food that you give your cat, that could open him up to something called hepatic lipidosis, or fatty liver disease, and that's where they lose weight too quickly. The body releases fat into the bloodstream, which is filtered by the liver, and they stop eating. So then you have a vicious cycle that could be deadly. So work with your vet.
You know what, Dusty, we're running out of time. I hope you'll come back and we can talk more about this for sure. There's more to talk on this, definitely. And obese dogs is a big issue too. So I wanted to talk about that gorilla incident at the zoo, and I wanted to talk about the dead tigers in the monastery in Thailand. So we've got lots to cover the next time you come on the show.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for joining me today. We're all out of time, Dusty.
Well, thank you for having me. Go to my website, DustyCatWriter.com, and my book will be out in a couple months. So, yay.
Oh, well done, Dusty. Okay, thanks very much. All right, everybody. We'll have Dusty back on the show to talk more on these topics for sure, especially the tiger one because it touches on the cats. That gorilla incident at the Cincinnati Zoo and the child slipping under, first of all, they should be fixing things so that never happens, and they should have way better protocols. And I really hate the outcome as much as all of you hate the outcome. There's no time to deal with it today. We'll have to talk about it next week on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I want to talk about psycho people and their psycho pets. But Becky won't let me. So we're going to talk
another topic. That'll be another topic.
Dangers in the home. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Psycho dangers in the home.
Psycho
maybe.
Dangers. Yeah. Well, I think dangers that would be a really pets. Good topic, actually, because, you
yes.
know.
Because some people
you won't
crave,
even start there. Yeah.
Do you know what? The way we start, we're talking about it on break, and some people seem to crave therapy. But also, coincidentally, I didn't tell you this yet, but some people, they have that same need with their dog. There's nothing wrong with the dog, but they get you to train it, and there's nothing wrong. It's doing everything. They just want the attention. They just want the process. It's very strange.
It's all humans. It's all our faults, no matter what we do, whether it's... We're parents to humans or parents to furry people, furry animals, rather. It all comes down to our own fault sooner or later.
Blame the owner. That's what right. we're saying. Blame the owner. And if you're an owner, you should listen to this show because you'll be a better owner and you'll make your house safer if you listen to Becky. So what about that, Becky?
Okay. Okay. So here, this is not going to be, hopefully, you know, it's not new to people, but I don't think they're taking it as serious as they should. There's a growing danger lurking in probably every pet owner's home. Let me learn how to speak this morning. Poison, before I tell you what it is, poison control centers have reported that the numbers of animals are in the thousands and increasing each year due to this potential.
Can I guess?
Yes,
can
you
I guess?
Can.
Can I guess? Is it edibles with marijuana?
No.
Is it prescriptions?
Nope.
Oh, because that's... That's been in the news a lot lately here. Okay,
nope.
I'm not guessing well.
But I
antifreeze?
Think
well, antifreeze is killer,
nope.
but that's not going to be it. It's not going to be it because it's not
nope.
like a new one.
No.
Nope. Oh. Okay,
so,
tell me some more. I want to guess, though.
Yeah.
Don't
I
give it away yet. Okay.
I think you're going to be able to know the minute I say it. Let's ask, do you have sugarless gum in the house? Breath mints.
Oh, sucralose. Yes, 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 yes. It's all the artificial aspartame. Halloween time, especially. The animals get a hold of the diet candy. Is that it?
No, well, that's
no.
not it, but there is a name for it. think toothpaste, mouthwash, baked good, but this will be your big clue, peanut butter.
No, I'm not. I'm not getting it.
Okay.
You're
going
to have to tell me. We need a sound effect.
Okay.
Like a duck quacking
da-da-da.
For when I blow. Yeah.
Okay. There's a class of sweeteners out there. You know how many people are using sweetener substitutes in many products now. And it's
yeah.
known as sugar alcohol. This one in particular has not proven harmful to us humans yet, but can kill a dog or cat in moments, less than 30 minutes. It's called xylitol.
Xylitol. Yeah, I have heard of it before. And it is the one in Halloween candy. It's usually diet candy, right?
Yes, it's primarily the bad thing is this. It is always classified with a sugarless anything. But also remember, a lot of people bake with, you know, sugar substitutes. A lot of the companies put sugar substitutes in our toothpaste, mouthwash, you know, around the home products so they taste better. It's called xylitol. The spelling, though, again, this is very important, is not at all like it sounds. It actually is X-Y-L-I-T-O-L. It's been in the news now for the last few years because of the growing numbers of animals being poisoned by this. You know, you might have a mint around the house, like my partner has sugarless mints, and I'm finding them on the floor. I find them in the laundry, and I just, you know, go ballistic because I know that that one little mint could end up doing some pretty big damage to my dog. So xylitol, it's one of those things we've been learning in over the years that if you can't pronounce it by the spelling, you should not have it in your home. Again, the clue is if it's sugarless or some kind of replacement to make things taste good in your grooming items, baked goods, etc. The reason xylitol is so dangerous for pets is this. Their blood sugar levels are controlled by the release of insulin, right, from the pancreas. When people consume a product containing xylitol, it does not cause the release of insulin. However, when a dog or cat gets something containing xylitol, it is more quickly absorbed into the bloodstream and may result in a deadly release of insulin quickly from the pancreas. This swift release of insulin then...
Brain damage? No.
I'm sorry, what?
Will it cause brain damage?
Well, it can, but here most of your symptoms are going to be as follows. This swift release of insulin can result in rapid and profound decrease in blood sugar level, almost going to hypoglycemia. That effect can occur within 10 to 60 minutes of eating xylitol. Again, it's going to depend on how much they consume, you know, of what kind of effects you can get. The symptoms you're looking for is vomiting, sudden lowering of the dog's blood sugar, decreased activity, weakness, staggering, incoordination, collapse, and even seizures. With a higher dose of xylitol, it can also cause irreversible liver damage that may not be apparent for a few days, but if you suddenly start seeing vomiting or black tarry stool or a coma, jaundice, you know, even death. There's a variety of symptoms involved in this because of the amount of xylitol that they swallow and, of course, the weight of the dog. So,
well, what do you do if you think your dog's got into it, or your cat, I guess? What do you do?
Okay, so what you should do at home is if you start seeing these signs, the first thing is get ready to leave for the vet, as always. You can call the vet if you have time, but get ready to go out the door. One of the things you can do if you believe, you know, your dog got into your toothpaste or peanut butter or that's contained or mints or sugarless candy, etc., you want to give that pet a source of food or a source of sugar like Karo syrup or even pancake syrup. Never induce vomiting without consulting their vet at Animal Poison Helpline, perhaps, because if your dog is hypoglycemic, causing vomiting could actually make it more worse. So you just want, if you think and you know they got into this, of course, most of you don't even know that it's in all these products around your house, so you're going to learn to look at the labels in the house. The treatment, then you get to.
So how do you ingest it? How do you get them to take the sugar at that moment?
Like, you stick it on your fingers, stick it in their mouth, rub it on their gums, you know, to try
like
to.
Like make a sugar liquid, sort of?
Well, you know, pancake syrup's ready to go. Karo syrup.
Yeah. Okay. Grab some topping type thing.
Some kind of liquid.
It's not chocolate. Don't add to his problems.
No.
Okay. Oh, we only have a couple minutes left. This sounds really serious, Becky. So you got to get to the vet. You got to get there quick. Got to give him some sugar because the insulin is reacting in his body as if he's had sugar, but he hasn't. So it's going to go for other things if not, and shut down his systems or attack his brain because that's what insulin does. Oh, man.
That's okay. Right. And
be
it's
careful.
In everything. So everybody needs to, you can get peanut butter without xylitol in it. You can get toothpaste without Tylenol, mouthwash, you know, but if you're going to
keep. Well, it makes me wonder if they can't handle it at all. How good is it for me, really?
Well, again, like I mentioned earlier, they haven't proven it badly toward you, but, you know, little by little, all these sugar substitutes are coming to fruition that they're not good for you. So read the labels of any sugar-free products in your kitchen, your bathroom, even in your purse.
Well, and the peanut butter one's brutal because so many people give their dogs peanut
butter.
Use it to give them treats. Like, there's all kinds of, you know, but don't do it if there's xylitol in it. Make sure.
That's right. Make sure the peanut butter doesn't, because I know everyone uses that. Or even your baked goods. Let's say you're baking for your dog. You know, a lot of families bake for their dogs now.
Peanut
Take
butter
a
cookies,
look at
why
those,
not? Yeah.
Those sweeteners. But it's growing quicker and more rapidly because people are not aware that it's all over their home.
Oh,
and I bet
Becky,
everybody,
thank you for bringing that to us today.
You're welcome.
We have to go. We're all done. I want to talk to you next week about psycho owners and psycho people.
Well, that's the topic then. We'll get real psycho. We'll make a little good music for the movie and remind everybody to hold on.
Yeah, get your pet crow on your shoulder.
And again, congratulations on all those new puppies.
Thank you. All right, everybody. We'll be back in a minute talking cats with Dusty Rainbolt on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Hello. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And it's a beautiful day at Camp Good Dog. The sun is shining on the 8-week-old standard poodle puppy that's for sale. And it's shining, but not on the 9 newborns that are in the barn, the reason I missed the show last week. 9 newborn golden doodle puppies. So adorable. So not every dog gets that kind of a start in life. Not every dog comes into a situation where it's wanted and cared for and has all its needs met, medical, physical, everything. Some dogs end up giving their all, being loyal, good pets, and then they have something go wrong and they get thrown away. Some dogs get into trouble. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that and how you can help by shopping for the things you always shop for the way you would, but a donation gets made. So let's talk to Chris Rubin. Welcome to the show, Chris.
As always, thank you for having me, Deb.
Well, yeah, welcome. And who have we got today? I understand you're introducing me to Betty Baker. What's Betty all about?
So, just a little background information. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, Dusty and I were going to go do a Hogs for Paws event. And we did that motorcycle event. And when we were at the Dallas Pet Expo, talking with thousands of folks there about all the good they could do by shopping online, we had this lovely, lovely lady who happens to be, I believe, Canadian, walks into the booth. Her name is Heidi Slaughter, and she gets to talking to me about what Betty and her husband Jim are doing, and I just thought to myself, it is absolutely what this segment and what we are all about. And without further ado, there's nobody better to talk about it than Betty. Betty, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hi, now, Betty. I understand you're doing some great work for animals in the Dallas, South Texas area, and I'd love to hear about it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I sure can. Oak Hill Animal Rescue was organized in 2001, and we built our own 2,000-square-foot heated and air-conditioned shelter in 2006. And we now, thanks to Heidi's efforts and our other foster coordinator, Lisa Freeman, have another network of fosters that houses another 60-plus dogs in that network. We can house around 63 dogs in our building, which is actually larger than the local city of Spiegelville, which is where our property is. We built this with the intent of saving dogs from euthanasia in city shelters predominantly, although we do help hardship cases, and we have focused really from the beginning on dogs that have some type of physical malady typically paralysis. We've had dogs in wheelchairs from the very beginning. And I'm actually speaking to you from Baylor Rehab Center here in downtown Dallas, where we do pet-assisted therapy with one of our wheelchair therapy dogs every Thursday. We actually have two dogs that are therapy dogs with Baylor Hospital, and we focus entirely on the Rehabilitation Institute with those dogs because those dogs are in wheelchairs just like the people they go to see. Makes a really
wow. So, like, okay, let me just get this straight. So you're taking a dog who's recovered and experienced the pain, experienced all of it, and is somehow happy and getting by and surviving and having a good life, and he goes and visits people who maybe are just finding out they're not going to walk again. Maybe they're not so happy. Maybe they don't have a lot of hope. And they see this animal come wheeling in like life's worth living. Oh, that's
absolutely
so good.
And we have people have told us that, you know, if this dog can do it in a wheelchair, I guess I can too. Our first dog that was in a wheelchair was actually a pit bull, which is pretty phenomenal in itself. But Chili.
Well, you know what? In terms of public image, maybe. In terms of vitality and, you know, willingness to endure anything, it makes sense to me. They're go-getters.
Oh, yeah.
They won't give up.
Absolutely. Chili was thrown over a fence when she was 8 weeks old and had neurological damage done to her spine. So she never was able to walk. She was in a wheelchair as soon as we could fit her for one. So she was our first wheelchair dog. And when we ran into a nurse from Baylor at a remote event we were doing, he said, this dog needs to be a therapy dog at Baylor Hospital, you know, and because of the fact she's in a wheelchair, she'll make such a profound impact. And we've since added two more dogs, both which are dachshunds, and they're a little easier to lift up to the table where people are doing their physical therapy than a pit bull is. But we've been doing this for over 5 years with Baylor. And we do adoptions every weekend with the other dogs that are in our care, every Saturday and Sunday at the Rockwall PetSmart. We've been PetSmart partners for probably going on 8 years now. And we operate out strictly. We don't do adoptions from our shelter. We're not going to do that. But we do adoptions with PetSmart in the Rockwall PetSmart on Saturdays and Sundays from noon until 4:30 every weekend. And then the other thing that, a couple of other things that make us unique, we work very closely with the Dallas County Juvenile Authority with a program called PrEP, and this is with young men that are in detention for the first time. And they've been provided a grant by the Youth Village, and they've hired professional dog trainers, and we're the exclusive provider of dogs to that program. And these young men are taught a skill with dogs. They're taught temperament testing, that type of thing, and how to teach a dog obedience training so when they leave detention, they can market themselves to a PetSmart or to a vet clinic with that kind of experience. And we get back an obedience-trained dog that's 200% more adoptable than it was when it came out of a city shelter. So
Does the dog go live in a closed facility? Is that, like, does the dog go to jail?
No, not at all. We have a minivan. And for four days out of every week for 3 weeks for 2 hours a day, we take one of my staff from the kennel, drives the dogs down to the Hutchins unit off of I-20, and stays there for 2 hours while they do obedience training, and then they come back into our shelter.
That's so interesting. Chris,
I want you to join
the conversation here, Chris.
All I can say to you is I knew you would love all this. And And the thing that struck me the most that I heard at the show was how they are taking some of these animals from the Dallas County area shelters and getting them the medical treatment they need. And then some of these animals are then moved to other parts of the country where evidently there's a need for more adoptable pets, if you can believe that. A touch on that for me, please, Betty.
Yes, that particular program... It was made possible by a grant we received from the Meadows Foundation, and we bought a 28-passenger bus that enables us to move probably as many as 20 dogs a week out to adoption, to our adoption venue, but I didn't want it sitting in our driveway in the interim.
I think we may have lost Betty. You know what? Before, okay. So, Chris, we're running out of time in this segment anyway. We have to go to break soon, and I want to make sure people know how to use your site, how to shop, and send Betty the donation, right?
Yeah, so what you're going to do with Father's Day coming up and graduations upon us, you're going to want to get those loved ones something. It's much easier to shop online. Simply go to adoptashelter.com, pick Betty's shelter or any one of the other 2,000 shelters, and then once you've done that, you click through to Amazon, PetSmart, Zazzle, Expedia, whatever you need, 750 stores. You simply shop as you normally would, and everything you buy simply by clicking through the site earns a cash donation for the shelter you chose. You always pay the same price, and it's free to you, and it's free to the shelters, and they can all use the money.
So, Chris, we have to go to break now. Thank you very much. But I do want to say I am eagerly awaiting my patch. I've been on the back of the Harley driving around.
It's on
I want
way,
my
dear.
Patch. Come on
it's
now. Hawks for paws. You promised.
I will. Okay. It's coming.
All right, everybody. Stay tuned. I'll post a picture of that, by the way, for sure. All right, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Becky Starr coming up on Smart Animal Talk. I'll pause that talk radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that,
you know
I really
you
do,
I really do.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, called Buzz Pet Dog Radio. Which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf, and I have very happy news since last show. I was not on last week because right then, right when I was supposed to be on live, bang, that's when it happened. Miss Scarlett decided to have her puppies. So I was on midwife duty in the barn, couldn't come to the radio, had 9 puppies, and they're all doing really well. And if you want to have a look, just go to Facebook Camp Good Dog. You'll see them. They're probably going to be all over Instagram, too, if you want to sign up for that. They're irresistible, these 9 golden doodle puppies. And a couple of days later, I got a call from a lady I met 2 months ago, timing being significant. She told me she would like to pay me for my stud fee with a puppy. So now I have 9 plus 1. I have a standard poodle puppy that's 2 months old, too cute to be believed. And then 9 newborns that you can watch grow, all being shown on Facebook Camp Good Dog. So, okay, let's go to the show. We've got Denise Fleck joining us today, and she's got a new radio show, but she's also got a safety tour. And from what I can see, she's a bit of a superhero. So let's find out about that. Welcome to the show, Denise.
Thank you so much, Deborah, and how exciting to have 10, well, actually, I guess that's 40 new furry paws in the household.
Yeah. Well, fortunately for me, only the bigger one is in the house. The other 9 are still in their little whelping pool with mama. You know, their eyes aren't open. Their ears aren't open. These are just beginner days.
Well, still, there's nothing like the furry paws and knowing all those heartbeats are there looking up adoringly.
You know, when she was pregnant toward the end, this is a first-time mom golden retriever. The litter's golden doodles, so dad's a poodle. And toward the end, she kept staring at her stomach and cocking her ears. She could hear them. She didn't know what they were, but she could hear them.
How funny is that?
And then her first nursing, when she first started nursing them, she kept looking at me with this ecstatic look on her face like, you know what? I have milk and they need milk. How amazing is this? She kept looking at me like that. Like, you'll never guess what's going on here. She was so shocked. For a couple of days before they were born, she had milk. And she kept looking and investigating and smelling. Like, what in the world, you know? And then it was like, oh, that's what that's for. Perfect, perfect. All working out perfectly.
Yeah, well, they all have their own secret language and way of understanding. I know I want to talk about my tour, but we also just had baby birds born outside of our front door. And, you know, my husband and I were talking about that. How do they know that it's time to go build a nest? And does she know what's going to happen next? And, you know, how does that all work out in the world, you know, when they don't have our language that we understand, but apparently they figure it out and life does go on and flourish.
They have some, birds have really interesting mating rituals. Like some of the birds, ospreys I can think of in particular, the female will only accept a male who is worthy. So first he has to build a beautiful nest. And she may even like snub her nose up and make him try again or pick a different male. So first he has to build a beautiful nest, and then he has to show that he can fish. Then maybe. Okay.
Well, you know, like I always say, we can learn so much from our animal friends.
I know, really. Yeah, if only I'd known that. Well, okay, let's talk about the safety tour, because I see this picture of you dressed up like a superhero with your two dogs carrying first aid kits, maybe? Is that what they got?
Positively. I have been teaching pet first aid and CPR classes for about 16 years now. I've taught 10,000 people in person and hopefully millions more, because I've been lucky enough to do quite a few television segments sharing these life-saving skills. And I decided I needed to kind of mix it up and really make a difference in 2016. So yes, I've slipped into the mask and cape, and I am now the Pet Safety Crusader, and I am going on a 10,000 mile tour through the southern United States this fall, bringing pet first aid and CPR classes to animal shelters that have not previously had the opportunity to learn. I'm teaching pet disaster preparedness at fire stations, to EMS responders, and to the general public. My goodness, if you watch the news, Texas is flooding again in other parts of the South. So people need to know what to do. And then I'm also doing children's book readings in libraries and schools.
Nice. Wow. Okay. So tell me about these two silly dogs that are proudly acting like this is the best job ever, holding up these kits in their mouths. Who are these guys? Is it a Malamute and a Chow Cross?
One is a Chiquita. So that's the Chow Cross. That is Haiku. He's kind of orangey. He's part Long Coat Akita, part Chow. And the Pinto marked Japanese Akita is Bonsai, and they are both rescues. I rescued them out in the desert of Southern California. Bonsai was a senior at the time, so now she must be about 130 right now. But
wow, I can't imagine being abandoned in the desert with that kind of coat. Ugh,
well, exactly.
Not fair. That's ridiculous.
And there's the rattlesnake issue, too. You know, when we get out in the desert, a lot of dogs don't make it even when they have homes if they're in the backyard because of that. Because not only is there the southwestern rattlesnake out here in Southern California, but when you get out into the desert, there's the Mojave Green that has a neurotoxic venom that we really just can't do anything for right now.
Do you know what's really strange? We were just talking about how animals know things we don't. And I have this dog. He's about 13 now. His name's Vegas. He's my old standard poodle stud. And he's always been a snake hunter. He loves to find them and catch them and whip them in the air and then go catch them again and then whip them in the air and then toss them in the pond, go after them there. You know, terrible, right? Like animal cruelty. I don't want him to do this, but this is his thing. And the snake is usually pretty dead, so pretty quick, you know. But I often thought, you know, thank God he doesn't live where he was born, where they do have poisonous snakes. Well, one of his puppies got, you know, one that I bred got sold and placed somewhere where they have poisonous snakes. And the people sent me an email a few months ago telling me that this dog is unbelievable at killing the deadly snakes. He finds them and he kills them. He doesn't get hurt and no one else does either. And I sometimes just wonder about the animals and their skill sets, you know, and what they know that we don't know that they know. I had a Labrador retriever that killed river rats, and everyone thinks of them as the most, you know, docile, non-violent creature. Can you imagine? She was one of my customers. Yeah, she was one of my customers. Her owner, a woman, went running along the park trail, and the dog would run down to the bank and just, you know, slaughter rats while they went for their run. Who would know, right? Sometimes our dogs are hiding secrets. But I look at that footage in Dallas, and I think about the floods and the animals displaced. We had a big fire up here that displaced a lot of animals. And wouldn't it be great if more people knew animal first aid, really?
Well, it's just so important, and I've had so many students over the years really jump to the task and be able to, you know, rescue Rover or help Fluffy feel better before they get to a veterinarian. It's by no means a replacement for veterinary care, but what you do at the time something happens before you get to that vet's office can really make a difference in their pain and suffering and, you know, in worst case scenario, between life and death.
Yeah, so, in the outcome. Okay, so Denise, for people listening, where can they get the information on the safety tour?
SunnyDogInc.com. That's SunnyDog, INK.com, and I'll be across the whole southern U.S. from Phoenix all the way down through Florida, up to Virginia, down through Georgia, and back this way. So hopefully I can say hey to whoever you are out there.
Well, you know, you could have tried a naughty nurse outfit, but I guess it would have been too confusing. It's good you're a superhero. If you check her out, you'll see she's posed as a superhero with a cat on her back and two dogs holding her equipment. And that's super enough, just getting them all trained to pose for that picture. So, all right, check out Denise Fleck. And what about your radio show? Do you want to tell them quickly?
I'd be delighted. It actually follows you. It's Pet Safety Crusader Radio, and we're on from 1 to 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time every Thursday, and I'm happy to have you call in and give me, you know, some questions or tell me what you want to hear. And we've got interesting guests and lots of first aid and safety tips for you each week.
Okay, everybody, stay tuned for our next segment. We're just going to go to a quick break, and then we'll be back with Chris Rubin, and we'll be talking shopping. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near.